Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. It is very, very exciting and my honor and pleasure to welcome back to Close Up Radio for our exclusive series, the incomparable Dr. Vatsala Sastry, coming to us live and direct from Brooksville, Florida, which is just outside Tampa. You know, like the COVID-19 pandemic posed a major global health threat, other viruses occurring at rapid rates from influenza, respiratory viruses, monkeypox, have us on high alert. Dr. Vatsala Sastry provides her unique insight in the fight against infectious diseases. She was raised in India from hardworking intellectual parents who were sharp-witted, positive role models, instilling in her from an early age the high value of education. She went to Tulsa and acquired her undergraduate degree at the University of Tulsa in Computer and Electrical Engineering, and at that point she decided to attend medical school. And that is incredible because she did it in a beautiful area. She did it in India, one of the most rural areas of India, and through that she learned a lot about infectious diseases. And what struck her most was how Indian culture encouraged vaccinations, and she realized how critical they are in lowering our chances of getting more diseases. Soon she became board certified in internal medicine and infectious diseases medicine, and she applied so much incredible knowledge that she became recognized as a leader, receiving numerous honors for her impactful work over the years. Today, living in Florida, she is married and has a wonderful family. I had an opportunity to actually meet the family when they came to our television studio for a television shoot. She has a top private practice where she's treated hundreds of patients successfully, and she has a particular fondness and respect for veterans who fought for our freedom and our liberties. She has treated so many vets and is humbled to have been able to help them be healthier and happier and live their best lives. She highly recommends people take extra precaution by finding natural ways to prevent infectious diseases through healthy diet, exercise, because as she says, we must all be our own advocates in keeping our bodies disease-free. It is once again my pleasure to welcome back to Close Up Radio the award-winning Dr. Vatsala Sastry. Dr. Sastry, thank you very much for joining us here. It is a pleasure to hear your voice again and to welcome you back to our program.
Why, thank you very much, sir. Good afternoon to everybody, and thank you. It is an absolute honor to be here, and nothing but an absolute pleasure to be able to communicate with all of you about the major issues that are going on right now. And thank you very much, and this wonderful country is the greatest in the world, so it is an honor to be here, sir.
Thank you very much, Doctor. We really appreciate those kind words. You know, people may be hearing this show and saying, you know, I hear infectious diseases, but I don't know what that really means. We can start with the basics. Maybe you can define for us what infectious diseases really are.
So infectious diseases is really is something that I decided to choose. I had wanted to be a surgeon. I had wanted to be a cardiologist, but when I really saw the effect of infectious diseases to all our darling citizens and people in the world, I said, my goodness, you know, then this is the most important issue that we have to address and take care of it. So that's why I changed and started to do it. Now, infectious diseases is caused, and it exists everywhere. It is a live creature, and we are way advanced and much more incredible live structures. And these infectiouses, what they do is they come and they try to always bite and eat, and they try to survive off of us. And that is why there is a major issue, and that's why it is critically important that we work on it. Now, the most amazing thing is that why I have such tremendous respect for the military as well. Our body also has immune globulin profile, which is just absolutely incredible, and that is our military. It strengthens us, allows us to survive very well, and it does not allow any of these infections to come and attack at us. It fights constantly. When our immune globulin system goes down, that's when we tend to get more and more infections. But what is amazing is in the United States, we have created this fantastic immune globulin profile that we can pour, and lift our spirits back up. Now, one thing about infections, they exist throughout. And if you really do some extensive research and look into the universes and everything like that, viruses, not so much bacteria, but based on the temperature, et cetera, they do exist throughout. So the most important issue to work on is how to handle the virus. And the United States is working extremely hard on that. And they're trying to find ways that way they can control viruses, where they can get the simple virus like influenza, what you mentioned, adapted to such a degree, and it works against cancer, which I think is phenomenal. I mean, they're trying to work very hard on that, and it's taking a long time. It's been about 10, 15 years, but I do believe in the next 10, 15 years, we will definitely make progress and get there.
That's incredible. That's very, very exciting, Doctor. What are some of the things from your perspective that actually causes infectious diseases?
So what it does is, there are two things. It's how our body is behaving and how our immune globulin profile is handling our own body, and then what we are exposed to, and if some area of the body gets weak, then it gets in. Now, if we all know, I don't mean to be in any negative way, but our body itself does have infections constantly. So, for example, our colon, our gut does have a lot of actually healthy bacteria, and they stay in our body, and they're fine, and it kind of helps us so that it's there. So we do have that, and we have some in our nose, and we have some on our skin. And frankly, in one way, it kind of helps us so the bad ones don't come and attack at us. And now you realize that. So we tolerate them, they tolerate us, and we somehow manage and keep going. And if something goes bad, then it flares, and that's the thing. So infectious disease in general is definitely very controllable because it exists continuously all over, in the plants, in the sky, in the sun, on the ground, in the water. So our body knows how to handle it. I mean, we swim and we fly, we walk around, and we still don't get any infections. So that's what's amazing. That is how our body has handled it very well. Now, if you take a look at armadillos and those, they also contain tuberculosis, believe it or not, leprosy. And you know what? They don't get tuberculosis or leprosy somehow or the other. And that's the stunning part. And that's what the United States did extensive research on. And they found out that if you get bit by an armadillo, in our legs or something, then we might even get literally leprosy. And in Florida, which typically doesn't have any of that, we've seen that. So all those cases, whenever I've come across a few of those cases, then I just really, it's an honor, and I take it to the residents, and I take it to the universities, and then I do cases, and then we teach them all about that. So basically what it is we know it exists everywhere. We do not panic with that. We have to know how to handle it, and then we have to see if there's something goes down with our body or anything, and we know how to control it much better. And we have become very good at controlling all of this. Now, you know, the biggest question right now, sir, as you mentioned, is about this COVID-19. This COVID virus has been there for millions of years. So what happened to it now? There has to be some type of adaptation to it, and it's become even more aggressive. And if you take a look at it, when it first started 4 years ago, it has adapted further and further and further and further. But that's very painful, irritating, annoying. But if you look at our bodies, how well has our immune globulin profile grown, learned to deal with it. And what I see now compared to 3 years ago, anybody with COVID now, that's much better. The COVID has to be weaker, and our body is stronger and handles it better. So that's the amazing part. It is something that exists all the time, but and we, you know, we just have to rise. And whenever we know that something is very aggressive, then of course all the countries work extremely hard on it. And you're right. I totally grew up in the United States, and I have to go back to India to do my medical degree. That's because my father was traveling back and forth, and so then I had to learn a lot of things about there. And then when I really looked at a lot of things, that's when I really understood all about the hot Asian countries, like the viruses, the bacteria are extremely high because of the constant heat, and that's a different. And they know that they have to handle it. And they are quite aggressive with the vaccines, and that does work. That does work. It is mandatory to get vaccines when you're born, and as you get older, it's not a choice. Even if you can't get it, they will figure out a way to do it in the hospital, give you the vaccine, and that is the only way that those countries can control the viruses and certain bacteria. That is the only way they can control it very well. Yeah. So it is fascinating.
That's fantastic. That is really exciting and very hopeful as well. Tell us a little bit more about your specific and unique background, Doctor, and how it really paved the way to the path and to who you are today.
So when I learned about how a lot of other the countries handle, and infectious diseases is all about all over the country. And I trained at University of Pennsylvania under Dr. Fauci, and University of Pennsylvania infectious diseases really is the best in the world. It's just absolutely phenomenal. We deal with New York. We deal with Delaware. We deal with all of those states, and we all have meetings every 3 months, and all of us sit together and talk. And they asked me, you did train a few years in India. I said, I did. They said, can you handle the one about tuberculosis? I said, absolutely. Leprosy, tuberculosis, that is the top one in India, and everyone is totally forced to be able to control those two bacteria. So by learning all of that, I came to realize, I said, wow, that's just incredible. I said, so what we can do as a physician, you know, we can learn how to protect all of the beautiful people in the world, how to control everything, and, you know, just get rid of all these types of infections. And that is absolutely the way to do it. You know, I will give you another unusual case, which I just saw. It was an RN, and she here in Homosassa in Florida, she took her dog and she was walking it, and she was exposed to a lot of water, and she actually injured her a little bit, her left leg. And then she, over the next few days, the entire thing flared, became a huge ulcer, drainage, and then she started getting fever, chills, and she came into the hospital. So, of course, they called me on the case, and I took a look at it. They said, wait. So you were exposed to what? Did you get injured? Then I thought it was an injury, and that might have caused it. But when I listened, water, which water? So it was more of a lake, it was the ocean, actually. And so a lake is different than an ocean. The kind of bacteria exists in the two of them are different. So I said, oh, my goodness. I said, I have to order this particular thing, and I did. And guess what? Vibrio vulnificus. And that was unbelievable. And, you know, we are trained that anyone with a diabetic with some feet injuries, they're not allowed to go into the ocean water because you'll get that Vibrio vulnificus and it will completely attack. So I think it's just incredible, this particular subject, how it teaches you where, what, how. And the one thing I remember at the University of Pennsylvania and Dr. Fauci, the first thing they ask you is it's not just the numbers, it's not just the CAT scans, it's not just this. The critical thing that you ask is what was the patient exposed to, where was the patient born, and that is how we learn about what is infectious diseases. And I think that's just the most fascinating thing. I would love to tell you about another case. There was this incredible police officer from New York City, where I grew up too, in Queens. And took a look at it. They called me on the case, and he had been admitted 3 times. And a little bit is changing in medicine. You know, they're trying to minimize a little bit. So anyway, the patient had come in 3 times, and then but the 4th time when he came in, finally they called me on the case. They said, this guy has recurrent pneumonia. We're not able to figure it out, this, that. So I said, I'll handle it. So I walked in there and I sat and talked to him and I took a look at it. I said, it's just a pneumonia. So I ordered his immune globulin profile, everything. But the key of it is the questions to him. So where were you born? Where were you raised? What did you do? And he told me all that. So he was born and raised in New York and he's doing this as a police officer. So I said, wow, okay, so let's talk. So police officer, what were you exposed to? What did you do? Where did he handle? Did anybody, you know, did you get attacked? This, that. So he goes, no, most of that was fine. I did very well. This is way later when I was semi-retiring. I said, okay, so what happened? He goes, for the first time, I was working on a big, tall building. I said, big, tall building? I said, okay. What time do you go there? 5 o'clock? I said, okay. What do you do then? Do you just on the computer? They said, no, I open the windows. I said, okay. And then what happens? He goes, oh, there's so much birds over there. And then the poo-poo of the birds and everything he gets exposed to. And it was pigeons. And guess what he developed? So I said, oh, my gosh, then I have to immediately let me change all the antibiotics and add antifungals and do this. I'm going to order the test. And the test takes weeks, days to come. But guess what he had? Cryptococcus. He had cryptococcus. So, oh, my gosh. So after that, you know, by the blessed God, you know, treating him for like a week in the hospital, then discharged. He came follow up in the office. And then I had to extensively read about the IDSA protocol. I knew I had to treat him a little bit longer. And this happened. And after that, every time he came in, he would always say, I only want Dr. Sastry. So what, why, I have no, absolutely no ego, nothing, but what, I just, the patients are my life. And my entire thing is by learning everything what I was trained, learning and asking where we're born, what we're exposed to, what did you, did something happen? When you ask all those questions, you get all these amazing answers.
That is so incredible. And the key is, like you say, asking those questions so you're informed and you can really be proactive about your health care. What a way, speaking of that, that one can prevent the spread of infectious diseases.
Okay. So what we do, we try to be healthy, of course. We try to be healthy. And if we know that we're going to be exposed to something, then we just dress and cover ourselves. And always, you know, maintain ourselves and just ensure that, you know, we don't have fevers or chills. Once we have fevers or chills, you know, you can sort of figure it out. And if it doesn't get better in the next day or so, immediately, you know, we can go and see either urgent care or we can go to a physician's area and do some extensive research and work on it. And then we will find the answers of it. And that is how we take the time to figure this out. And I will tell you one more case, which was just unbelievable, which even I was really amazed at in the state of Florida. And this was about 2 years ago. So there was a very sweet young guy. He was 26 years old, and he was in there, and he had a little PTSD in his post-military. Very, very sweet. So I, of course, I had to ask him all those questions. But he was, luckily, he was had not traveled much around the world. He was mainly in the U.S., and he was a computer person, so he was just excellent at that. And then he said he just felt a little down because of his hand. I said, well, so then I did the extensive research. So what happened to your hand, dear? So there was a big sort of a, I took a look at it. It was all healed. So it looked like an ulcer in the left arm, and all of it completely healed. There was nothing. There's nothing there anywhere. So then when I listened to the whole history, I was just amazed. And again, I used it as a teaching case. So what happened to him, he was walking his dog, which he does in the evenings, and one day he had to go late. So he went out at about 2:30 in the morning and started walking the dog, and, you know, in his park. And of course, suddenly the dog screamed, shouted, and ran away. And then, oh, my gosh. So he turned on his cell phone lights, and he went and he grabbed the dog, and he said, hey, what's going on? Come here. And he was trying to talk to the dog to come back. And then the dog was all over the place, and he had to try to pick him up because the dog kept putting his face down and biting at something. He goes, what's that? And, you know, it was hard to see at that time of the night, but he pulled the dog up. But then he also got bit on the hand. And all of those issues happened, and finally, eventually, he said, oh, my God. Then he went, the dog had a little blood on his face, and he had a little blood on his arm. And it was a small amount, but then he went home, and they all showered, this, that, cleaned everything, and he just put some good cream on it now. And he didn't pay any attention to it, and he didn't have to. It was kind of okay, but over the week by week, within 2 weeks, he took a look at it, continued to drain, redness, open ulcer, wasn't closing. So now, this is the inspiring thing that I want to tell all of you, and this is why, you know, when I learned at University of Pennsylvania Infectious Disease. This is where I've continuously used my head. So apparently, he went to three wound care centers. Yeah, he did go to a wound care center as well. Then he went to an urgent care center, and then he went to a physician. Then he went to two dermatologists. They did everything, the regular, you know, regular bacteria, and they did all of that, and multiple antibiotics were given. And finally, approaching about a month, that thing was not looking good. So he went back to the military, and they said, this doesn't look good. Listen, you must have been exposed to something. I just can't figure this thing out. I have no idea. That night I got bit by a dog or bit by something else. I can't even figure it out. And he said, no, you have to go to a university. Go to a university. And the only thing with this much time, if it has failed, not healing, go to an infectious disease professor. So actually he went to Gainesville, and he went to a very senior elderly professor who was excellent. He was a teacher. So he went, and when he came in, he looked at all the data, and everything negative, 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 and no antibiotic helped. And this guy has a good body, so he says, Then he says, wait a minute. Now I have to specifically order for certain viruses. I have to order certain unusual bacteria. I have to order this, and I have to order for AFB. So he did. And the shocking thing about it is came back AFB positive. That means it was like a semi-tuberculosis, something like a tuberculosis. Would you believe this? In Florida, would this happen? And so he said, oh, my goodness. So he immediately said, because it's been there for so long, I'm going to start you on treatment right away, but I don't have the answer of exactly what it is. Is it actual tuberculosis, atypical tuberculosis, or is it something else, which is stunning to see it in the USA. So he gave him the treatment anyway, which kind of works on everything for semi-tuberculosis. And within 2-3 weeks, he gets the answer, and he calls the military student in, and he comes and talks, and he says, do you know what you have? And he goes, please sit down. I just don't want you to be anxious, and I don't want you to feel sensitive about it. It was leprosy. Would you believe it? In Florida, a young person getting leprosy. Now, in other Asian countries, it's routine. African countries, oh, yes, it is very routine. So So imagine how this boy feels. He has to think 10 times, but because his military is very controlled, and the doctor told him, listen, I'm going to ask you this next question. Were you exposed to an armadillo? And he says, I might have this. I think so. There was a couple of dead ones out there. So that's it. The armadillo contains the leprosy and the tuberculosis. It exists in its body just fine, and nothing happens to it. So that's how he got exposed. Now do you see how, as an infectious disease, and that's why Dr. Fauci and University of Pennsylvania, where's the patient? What was they exposed to? How this happened? How that happened? And that's how we learn. So I think all citizens, we, particularly in America, we do very well. We take care of our bodies. We're not exposed to many things. You know, sometimes with trauma, et cetera, we may get exposed. But for the most part, I think we do very well, sir.
That is fantastic. I just love listening to you because you're so astute in all of this, and you're so passionate about it as well.
Yes.
And you have a wonderful way of breaking it down in layman's terms so it can be impactful for the audience. What illnesses, if there are any, are preventable?
Well, there are a couple of advantages by taking the vaccines. And I do recognize that, you know, 98% of people do very well with vaccine. There's a 1 or 2% that might not do very well with the vaccine. They might just not respond very well to it. Of course, all the body is always a little bit different. But, you know, when a child does not respond well, they can figure it out, and they will manage very well. And the immune globulin system is the first thing they check. And if they recognize some issues on that, then they're very careful with that, and they talk to the parents, they talk to the child, and they say, listen, just make sure he's not exposed. But the regular other people, when we're all born, remember, we all got the vaccines. And in all those Asian countries, it is essential, critical, and it's mandatory. Why? Because people will just deteriorate if they don't get those vaccines, and because of the extreme heat and the extreme exposure. So coming back to that, when we're born, you know, we get those vaccines, but it has to be done the right way, like only 2-3 at a time, and take time and get another 2-3 and not give 10-20 at one time. That's when I think that is, I really do believe that if excessive vaccines are given at one shot, that's when sometimes, you know, you can get a very high fever and all those other mental issues can start. So we should really be very careful with the time and the way we give it. And, you know, they have rules and laws to do that, which is correct. That's the way to do it. So we can at least expose to get some good vaccines, and we can at least prevent ourselves from getting, you know, smallpox and all of those kind of bad, horrendous infectious disease that occurred about 800, 600 years ago. So we can at least prevent our bodies from that. And when you don't take it, I mean, if somebody here or there, they can still get something. So the vaccine is one, and it's the style in which we dress, and looking at the temperature, we learn. And if we recognize if there's a virus going around, then a particular mask, and by handling ourselves that way. And if we have some deep ulcers and we have diabetes and we have some other issues, then we have to be very careful by getting into the ocean, because we can get into that. So better to go in a lake, or rather in a pool, where there's a lot of, you know, we put a lot of items in the pool, which prevents any infection from occurring. So those kind of things, we have to figure it out. And, you know, as we all get past 50, 60, 70, we recognize that, you know, we have to be just a little more particular about our body. But I do believe that even if we're above 60, 70, we're extremely special people, because we are way advanced in our mind. We have learned, and we have spent great lives. We have learned so many good things. And, you know, I really believe the teaching, you know, should be that way, so we can learn. And I think there's a very nice way to teach all our darling citizens and people how to protect our bodies as we grow older. And once we do that, we can do just fine.
That's right, exactly. And that's it's a beautiful way to put it. It's so true. We have about 2 minutes left, and our next episode next week, we can elaborate a little bit more on this. But
yes,
if you can, you have a wonderful private practice clinic there in Florida. If you can, maybe sprinkle in, tell us a little bit about some of the wonderful things you do at the clinic.
Okay. So when I first came to this area, I started, and imagine coming from Washington and Pennsylvania and Virginia. I'm so and New York. I'm so used to that up north where we, you know, and where you're from, sir. There's so many heavy academics and teaching, and it's absolutely fantastic up there. And my husband came down to Florida because they needed a lot of, you know, doctors, and my brother's a cardiac thoracic surgeon, transplant surgeon, and he said, we need internal medicine, come here. So then my husband said, I'm going to go down there, you come there too. So I said, all right. And I have to slowly adapt and get used to it. And so I called the University of Pennsylvania. They said, go and do a good job. You know, you're part of us. None of us have been in Florida. I said, yes, sir, we'll go there. Thank you, thank you. So I wanted to do a good job. So I came here. And I slowly went to these three big areas, and I slowly started working. In two big counties, there was no infectious disease. Can you believe it? So I said, oh, my goodness, I have to help. Then I slowly started doing all that. So I have this created this very big office, and blessed God, you know, I'm seeing 30, 40 patients a day in the office. I also started an infusion center where we're seeing, again, a lot of people, because now, because of the COVID and because of a lot of HMOs and all, most patients are outside. So they're just adorable, and I just take care of them so well. And if they need infection, antibiotics, et cetera, then they come to the office. And of course, I used to go to 7 hospitals when I first came. But once I started my infusion center and big office, I had to narrow it down to 3 hospitals. And that's what I do every day. So it's about 8 to 10 hours rounding, and then I've got to do my notes, and that's what I do. So it's always a pleasure. This is what gives me, it makes me feel lifted always.
That's right. Absolutely. It's work that speaks to your heart and soul, as we've mentioned, and just really reflects the essence of who you are, because it's glorious work that you were meant to do. It called your name, and you followed that calling, which is a absolutely beautiful, beautiful thing to be doing. It's really fantastic. Doctor, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio. I look forward to chatting with you again next week, Tuesday, August 23rd at 2 p.m. Eastern, for part 2 of our series together. Thanks for all of the incredible work you do, and thanks for spending time with us here on Close Up Radio. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope you did as well.
Thank you very much. Absolute honor and a pleasure to do this, and thank you so much for this capacity. I really think it's wonderful. Thank you.
You are very welcome. We'll chat again next week. Our very special guest, Dr. Vatsala Sastry. She's extraordinary. Again, located in the Tampa, Florida area in Brooksville. You can check out her incredible clinic. Jim Masters here thanking you for your time this time till next time. And we appreciate you being with us. Stay right here. More great episodes coming up in just a moment. Till then, for all of us, have a great day and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.